that live stream. And then we usually use this time to kind of prepare our hearts for worship as we consider how to outline the Word of God and understand all of its parts. And so we decided to take one more time on Joshua, one more day on Joshua. And the reason is because you kids, we wanted to finish filling out the portion of your handout, which is this important people and places. We kind of hit the central theme. I'll be repeating it for you off the cuff. I don't have the same paper where I wrote it down before. And then I'll go into it specifically for what you need to know. And then we're going to go into this idea of covenanting and show you from Joshua and from a corresponding place in the scripture that covenanting is something that is so important to God and therefore ought to be important to us as well. Well, let's first pray, and then we will dig into these things. I know we have one person still in the way, and yep, we'll see. We should be here soon. So it'll be a nice, intimate group today. All right, let's pray. Father, this is a Lord's Day like we have never had before here, and we do pray for your mercies upon those who are ill. We thank you for preserving those of us who are able to be here today. We pray that you will bless our time together in the Word, and that you will bless our time together over a meal, and even this evening as well as we continue to fellowship. We thank you for preserving our health, and ask that you will give a quick and speedy recovery to those who are not able to be with us here today. Now bless us as we look at the rest of Joshua, and as we look at a corresponding text in 2 Samuel. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us, and we ask that you will bless us through this service, though small. Let us not despise the days of small things. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so children, you have this sheet, and so I want you to write down some of the important places in Joshua and things. The important places are going to be all of the places which there was a conquering by the general Joshua over the people of the land. And the most important ones are Jericho and Ai. So you want to make sure you write that down. Jericho, because of the famous rounding the city seven times and the trumpet which had the walls come tumbling down. And archaeology has confirmed that the Jericho walls indeed came down at the time of Joshua, which would have been in the 1300s BC. So this is a really neat thing that you have the Bible confirmed by history, which happens continually throughout the ages, though you have many atheists in the meantime who are saying, you know, oh, this can't be true. And that's what happened with Jericho. But then they found Jericho. And then they said, oh, this falling of the walls doesn't line up with the right time period. And then they kind of, oh, we made a mistake. Yes, it does. And it indeed is Jericho's wall. There was a destruction of Jericho. And that was by the walls falling down. So make sure you know that. Ai is important. And the reason why Ai is important is because of the fact that the Jews lost. That was the first defeat they had there. And that was because of a sin of one of the Israelites. As they were taking over the city, he stole one of the gold and silver from one of the tents, and he ended up disobeying the Lord in that. You need to know Gilgal, which was another conquering. And the reason why Gilgal is important is because that is where the Passover was first kept in the Promised Land. Okay, so Gilgal, spelled G-I-L-G-A-L. Some of the important people, of course, you have Joshua and Caleb, but you want to make sure you write down Rahab. Rahab is important because she becomes part of the people of God, even though she is not ethnically of the children of Abraham. She became by faith the children of Abraham, showing forth that you can be part of the true religion, though not descended from Abraham, because it always has been by faith that this was so. You need to make sure that you know in the important people, the people groups. And I want to read for you some of these people groups. It says in Joshua 9, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan in the hills, that's the side that would be on the west side, and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. So these people groups are important because they were conquered, and because you're going to see in the ones that they did not obey God in the conquering of, they continue to be enemies of the people of God, showing forth that obedience is so important. You want to, and an important people, remember the Gibeonites. I'm going to emphasize that here today. But in addition to the Gibeonites, that's spelled G-I-B-E-O-N, you want to remember some of their kings. You have Og of Bashan. You have the king Debir of Eglon. These are ones which were conquered by General Joshua. And so these are important places and peoples. One other thing I want to mention to you in important people is the Anakim. The Anakim, just spelled like you would think, A-N-A-K-I-M. These were descendants of very tall human beings in that age, and they were, one of them was even a brother to Goliath. Okay, so very important, because we'll find that God gives, you got to remember, when the spies went in 40 years before, they looked and saw the great, tall, and mighty men of that land. And it caused them to run from that land. And God punished them for that. But then what happened after this is you had God giving them conquering the land, and they kill the giants. And so the giants which they were once afraid of are conquered by Jehovah. Okay? So this is the chief of the people I want you to remember, please, amongst Joshua. I'm going to also give you now a quick introduction to covenanting in the book, especially as it is found in Joshua chapter 9. And we're going to return to this idea of the Gibeonites. Remember, the central theme of Joshua is to teach us that we ought to be a militant church as we go and conquer the world with spiritual weapons, of course, for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so, in order for us to see the promises, and the promises not only heavenly, but as well that which is to take place here on earth, we must go about conquering. And that is a central theme of the book of Joshua. As you think about the wilderness being our life and the promised land heaven, you notice in order for heaven to be obtained, you must have a conquering of wickedness, the enemies of God. And then the promised land is obtained. And so this is the same theme running from the Pentateuch straight into Joshua. Okay. Covenanting. Let's look at the covenant that Joshua made with the Gibeonites. I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter 9 and starting at verse 3. I'm going to explain some things as we go, and then I'm going to read a parallel text in 2 Samuel chapter 23. So, children, these are things you might want to put in your outline. You have that second page, a basic outline. You have the 3 points of Joshua. You can also put, I believe at the bottom, if you have room, those two texts, okay? Joshua 9, verse 3, and it goes all the way to 15, and then 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21, okay? And we'll just be looking at the first 11 verses there. All right, very quickly, let's look at covenanting in Joshua. Hear the word of the Lord from Joshua chapter 9. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done what they had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily. Like Wile E. Coyote, right? That's the kind of wily there. They're sneaky. They worked wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. And they took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. So they made it look like they were a bunch of poor travelers. Okay, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, And old garments were upon them, so they made sure it was their shabby, homeless-looking clothes. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. So they really were, I mean, just great actors. Okay, great actors. Verse 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal. That's where they first had their Passover, right? So they're in a time of peace as a church. And said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league. It's another word for covenant. Make a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from where do you come from? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. So they fake one thing, they fake that they're coming from a far country. They fake a second thing, they fake that they are coming to this country because of what they heard about Jehovah. Oh, he conquered Jericho, he conquered Ai, so we've come to serve him. We're your servants, Joshua. Do you see how this is a great con? I mean, it's a great con. And then they say it's not only because of Jericho and Ai, but because of Egypt. Listen to the end of verse 9. We are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals, that's like food, kids, with you for the journey. You can see they're all moldy, right? You see our victuals? They're trying to get pity from Joshua. And go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, and it is moldy. You see how they're using it as part of their con? And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these, our garments and our shoes, are become old by reason of the very long journey. So they really play this well. Verse 14. Let's see if they fool Joshua. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And there's a mistake. Okay. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. So Joshua does find out that they were conning him. But he says, we swore in the name of Jehovah we cannot go against our covenant. And so it stands. But the people were subjected. They were made servants to the people of God in the land in which they were going to live with them. And in that way, they are still devoted to Jehovah. All of the people besides the people of God were devoted to Jehovah. For to be devoted to him can mean two things. It can mean to be in servitude to him, or it can mean to be destroyed. Okay, and many of the peoples were destroyed, but it just so happened the Gibeonites were spared from destruction and were made to be in servitude. And they were for the rest of their time. You'll see, trace it all throughout the Bible, in Saul's time, in David's time, they were servants to the people of God. They would help out with several things in the state and in the church as well. They would help in the Levitical cities. But let's go and look at what happens. Now I want you to realize time frame. The time frame here is 1300s BC, right? And then you have Saul coming around after the judges, you know, 400 years later in the 1100s or so. And then you have David coming after him. Okay, and this would have been in the 1000s. Okay, and then you have, of course, Solomon in the 900s. So you have here this period of 200 years, and then with David, 300, right? So Saul, 200, David, almost 3. And since this covenant's been made with Joshua, fair enough? So a long time, and many different governments. They went from the governments of chiefdoms and judges and elders to a judgment of monarchy and changed to Saul being a king. And then look what happened. 2 Samuel 21. I'm going to read for you what happens next. And I want you to think about what this means for you in regard to covenanting. Some of you are thinking about covenanting. I want you to see how important God considers covenanting. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. He did the right thing that Joshua didn't do. And the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them a covenant. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. So this verse 2 in 2 Samuel 21 is the only time that we hear what happened. It's not recorded anywhere else how Saul slew the Gibeonites. You look in 1 Samuel, you see Saul doing awful things, by the way. He killed hundreds of priests just in one day. I mean, he was a horrible king, all right? But the point is all, he even tried to kill his own son, by the way. He threatened Jonathan's life. So he did horrible things, but this horrible thing, slaying of the Gibeonites, and by the way, with good intentions. He intended to do it. It was his zeal for Israel and for Judah that he did this thing. And so it was well-intentioned slaughter, as you would say, but it was wrong and against the covenant. And it's as if God gives him and his children the opportunity to make this wrong righted. But it never happens. And David becomes king. And that is the result of this famine year after year. Year 1, year 2, year 3. 3 years of famine, which is horrible. Especially a people which are so reliant upon the land. This is a dreadful thing. And they inquire the Lord, and the Lord said, years and decades ago, Saul killed the Gibeonites. And 200, 300 years before that, that's when that covenant made in my name with these people was made, and now it's been transgressed. So listen what happens. You ready? Let's go to verse 3. Therefore, David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall, I want you to make sure you know these pronouns, children. What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? He received as a king the wrongs of the king before him. This is a principle in the scriptures that a church or a state constitute is like a moral person that receives the sins or the blessings of their past instituted covenants and blessings. And therefore, when you walk into a church and you're going to become a member, you need to make sure you know her sins and her blessings, because you receive in your own person the very same things. You yoke yourself together. And it sounds strange to us, but this is normal. I want you to think about marriage. If you're girlfriend that you're going to make your wife, okay, if she has a whole bunch of debt, when you get married, guess whose debt it becomes? Yours. Same thing with a husband. If he has debt, if he has baggage from his past, guess what you're taking on when you marry them in covenant? You're taking on the exact same debts and baggage of the past. That's how it works. That's how covenants work in marriage. That's how it works in covenanting as a state or covenanting as a church and as an individual member of that church. And so we see David receiving that, knowing that, and the Holy Spirit is teaching us that this is the case, because he said, how can I make it? He doesn't say, how can Saul make atonement or Saul's descendants make atonement? He says, how can I make atonement? Now, this is where it's going to get more difficult to our American ears. Listen to verse 4, what the Gibeonites say. And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, The man that consumed us, and that devised against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. So, children, this is so important for you. Your parents and their covenants, you have a duty to uphold as their seed. This is true in civil law, and we don't think much of it. The children have a right to the estate of their parents left over after death, and they must settle with that estate the debts. The debts. This is a responsibility that has been with the seed forever. But Americans, we're so used to our individualistic mindset, we don't like hearing this. We don't like hearing that the children that were hanged up of Saul's were responsible to right their father's actions. If you have a wicked father or a wicked mother, you children are responsible to bring them to justice through the courts available to you, whether civil or ecclesiastical. Family should have no favoritism because it lies upon your shoulders and your head for their doings. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ says, I will visit their iniquity upon their children to the third and fourth generation. This would have only been one generation away. Saul, Jonathan, actually it could have been two, because some of them were Jonathan's as well. Which were the children of Saul, grandsons. And so this was within that third to fourth generation, which the Lord promises he will visit the iniquity unto. And notice, the king delivers seven of Saul's sons. And then let's hear what happens. I love verse 7 because it's so typical of the redemption that we have in Christ. The king spared Mephibosheth because of his covenant that he had with Jonathan. It's a beautiful thing that I think I have preached on before, and I hope to preach on again someday. The king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath. That's a covenant as well. The Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. So there you see there was two covenants at work here. One David made with Jonathan, and one that Joshua made with the Gibeonites, all in the name of Jehovah. Verse 8, But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Mishal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell, all seven, together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And then we go on and we read, after that, God was entreated of the land, in verse 14. So the atonement was made for breaking the covenant. And God gave rest on the land, and rain came forth again. What are we to learn from this, boys and girls, children? What are we to learn? You're to learn this. You ready? That covenants matter. They're serious, and they're successive in generations. So you need to know the covenants of your church, the covenants of your state, America, the covenants of your parents. And hold them to that. It's your duty. God was pleased with the hanging of the seven sons of Saul because justice was served. And this is justice according to the mind of the all-holy God, not justice according to the American mind, which we ought to try to constantly release ourselves from. Okay. So that's a little bit of covenanting in Joshua. You see, I hope, how serious your covenant is that you took, the covenant with the Church of Jesus Christ. And those of you who are considering covenanting, you can see how serious it is. You've got to take it seriously. And it's just like marriage. It's lifelong. Can't annul it. It is perpetual into your generations. Okay, let us now go to the Lord in prayer and then take a break, coffee break, before worship. Pray that we get a couple others which are still well to gather with us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this was a very hard truth to look at covenanting and the seriousness that you place upon it and the justice that you plan to mete out upon those who do not keep the word which they have made in the name of Jehovah. We pray that you will be with the members of our church and help them to keep their covenant. And those who are considering taking the covenant, we pray that you will be with them, guide them, show them the seriousness of it and how their lives must be formed around the word which they promise, even as David had to do and Saul had to do but did not. So help us not to be a Saul, but a David, making atonement for our fathers and moving forward in obedience, that you, O God, may be entreated of the land and of the church, of this congregation. We pray that you will bless us now. We don't feel your blessing in such small numbers, but we pray that you will pour out your spirit nonetheless and bless those who are not only here, but those who will be joining us from the live stream. And we thank you, O Father, that you love us and that even in the midst of this illness, we will see your hand of mercy and grace as you effect healing. Do this work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.